Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Night falls, there's this mysterious wonderfulness about Central Avenue.
Remembering the past with a Central Avenue jazz musician. Good afternoon, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, February 26th, 2008. I'm Laura Weber. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is proposing a plan to reduce the city's budget deficit by $155 million, Melissa Monroy reports.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa was at the Staples Center today, where he repeated his plans to reduce the city's budget deficit. Some of his ideas:
instituting a voluntary five-day furlough, suspending non-emergency hiring, cutting cell phone and BlackBerry use.
The city's top policy analyst is criticizing the mayor's proposals. Jerry Miller says the unpaid vacation days and a decrease in cell phone usage among city employees won't solve the city's budget problems. Instead, Miller suggests the city could save money by not hiring 45 police officers next month. But that's a move Mayor Villaraigosa is refusing to make.
But let me tell you what I'm not prepared to do. I will not abandon our efforts to expand the Los Angeles Police Department. We made a commitment to the residents of this.
Councilman Bernard Parks argues it will be difficult to reduce the $155 million budget cuts without cutting jobs.
The city of LA and every government gets its work done by its people. At some point, you're going to have to start addressing the hiring or the continued hiring of employees, because that's where the bulk of the money is.
The mayor says he and the city council will continue to look for ways to fix the budget crisis. Marissa Monroy, Annenberg Radio News.
The bus riders union asked officials today to reverse MTA's proposal to cut services throughout the city. MTA's plan would eliminate 9 routes in South LA. It would also limit the number of buses operating on nights and weekends on at least 7 lines. The union says the cuts could affect Black and Latino communities and hurt riders who depend on the buses.
It hurts working class communities of color, Black and Latino folks who are security officers. You've got domestic workers that travel from Southeast LA all the way across to the west side up to Pacific Palisades.
Los Angeles County Supervisor Yvonne Burke is sponsoring a motion to investigate the transportation cuts. ARN's Darryl Perinata is live at Los Angeles International Airport with the latest on the plan to improve safety on the runways. Darryl?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead, Darryl. We're with you.
Hi, Laura. Well, the news here today is that LAX is going red. Officials announced plans to install a new red light system on the airport's runways. The system is called Runway Status Lights, and it warns pilots about potential runway safety hazards. Federal figures show that LAX has the most runway safety violations of any airport over the last 8 years. LA is partnering with the Federal Aviation Administration to install the $6 million system. Bobby Sturgis is its administrator.
It's an alert system with red lights embedded in the runway pavement to warn pilots to hold right where they are. The reasoning is simple. Drivers have stoplights to guide them, so why not pilots? Well, now they will.
The new system is expected to be ready by this time next year. Darryl Perinata, Annenberg Radio News.
Thanks, Darryl. Obesity levels are above the national average in Los Angeles County. But as Tim Worth reports, today marks the start of a new campaign to get people active.
Los Angeles County Supervisor Yvonne B. Burke recognized today the Department of Parks and Recreation for launching its Play for Life campaign.
The Play for Life message to youth, families, seniors, and everyone in between is to be healthy, stay active, and play at County of Los Angeles Park and Recreation Facilities.
According to the Los Angeles Department of Health Services, more than half of adults and 20% of students in the county are overweight or obese. Obesity levels are higher in low-income neighborhoods. The assistant director of the department, John Wicker, says the campaign will help keep people healthy and parks safe.
And the way you make the park safe is by bringing a lot of people into them and keeping them actively programmed. So you want a busy park.
There are 140 parks and more than 65,000 acres of park space in Los Angeles County, including Chesterfield Square Park and the Harvard Rec Center in South Los Angeles. Every month, a new catchphrase will urge everyone in the city to use these park facilities. The phrase for March is Stop and Smell the Flowers, to remind people to visit one of the county's botanical gardens. This is Timothy Beckworth reporting.
Looking to the weather, tonight will be clear with lows in the 40s. Tomorrow will be warm in the low 80s, and Thursday will have highs in the mid-70s with light wind.
Buddy Collette's band entertains guests at this party for the Southern California Library for Social Studies and Research in South LA. The band's playing Magali, an original song by Buddy Collette. The 86-year-old jazz legend is on hand for the event, but he doesn't play the sax anymore after suffering a stroke a few years ago. But members from his band and other musician friends still get together to play his music at events like this. Collette was an important figure in the vibrant jazz scene that centered around Central Avenue near downtown Los Angeles from around the 1920s to the 1950s. Michelle Welsing helped organize the library party.
You look at Central Avenue now and we get young people coming in, and a lot of them don't know that Central Avenue was once a very lively place. So what happens, what do we lose when we lose our histories? And so I think that's, you know, a big part of why having Buddy here today and talking about that.
We were making $21 a week, you know, as a kid, and at that time my dad was making $25 a week.
Collette remembers finally getting his first regular paying gig at a club on Central Avenue.
I was sort of rich as a young kid, you know, $21 a week then was like maybe almost like $1,000 a week now, you know. It was, you know, a dollar would go a long way then.
By the 1940s, nearly 70% of the African-American population lived along the Central Avenue corridor, because it was one of the few areas in Los Angeles where racist housing laws didn't prevent them from buying or renting homes. Jazz scholar Adam Bush says Central Avenue not only became a hub for businesses and services, but also nightlife.
It was Jackie Kelso, Jack Kelson quote, who talks about night falls, there's this mysterious wonderfulness about Central Avenue. I think that's just great. You think of, you know, everyone dressed to the nines. You don't want your shoes to be dirty when you're walking on Central Avenue.
From the 1930s, you could catch comedy, dancing, and jazz music at a number of venues along Central Avenue. There were large theaters like the Lincoln off of 23rd Street, as well as smaller clubs like the Alabam and the Downbeat.
There was places to play no matter what kind of scene you were looking for, and there were places to dance no matter what kind of scene you were looking for, both to see and be seen. Everything was there.
Buddy Collette says entertainers not only played at some of the theaters and clubs, but they also stayed along Central Avenue at places like the Dunbar Hotel.
Central Avenue had your own little places like the 54th Street Drugstore. That was where people hung out. The artists hung out after night. Big fighter Jack Johnson would be in there, or Ellington would be if he was in town. Basie would be in town. And you sing hello to a lot of friends that are doing the same thing you do. So all I would say is like a picnic every day, every night.
He says for years there were jazz shows almost every night on Central Avenue at the different clubs and theaters.
You know, people were learning from each other. They got a chance to see people that we wouldn't have gotten a chance to see. That was like a million-dollar experience to see all these talented. If you were talented and good, those bands were excellent.
Collette was just one of many legendary musicians who came up in the local music scene, including Dexter Gordon and Charles Mingus. Collette convinced Mingus to switch from the cello to the upright bass when they were just teenagers forming their own jazz quintet. Adam Bush says the two friends would spend a lot of time on Central Avenue to hear and play jazz.
And they tell stories about, you know, wanting to go down to Central to play and jumping on the trolley and playing the saxophone and the bass on the way down, trying to get to Central.
And we'd get on, he'd say, "Let's take the sax out, we'll jam." He was more aggressive than I was. And so he'd take the bass and say, "Boom, boom, 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 boom." And I said, "Do, do, 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 do." We played music and the people on the car loved it.
The jazz scene in Los Angeles slowly shifted away from Central Avenue, beginning in the late 1950s, and African Americans began moving to other areas of the city after housing restrictions were lifted. Many of the Central Avenue jazz musicians like Buddy Collette had careers that took them across the country and through Europe. Collette still writes and arranges music even though he can't play anymore, but he says he will always treasure his experiences performing on Central Avenue.
You know, it's wonderful that to have that experience and have the audience like you, and they're there to hear a good show, and you're part of that. It means that you must be doing something right to be there. I don't know. It's a wonderful thing.
And if you're lucky, you might still catch the sounds of his music on the streets of South Los Angeles. David Chong, Annenberg Radio News.
That was David Chong, marking the end of Black History Month. Earlier today, I spoke with a South LA community leader about park safety. James Harris is chair of the Southwest Neighborhood Council. He says public parks aren't as dangerous as some might think.
Probably one of your safer places in the city, but it's a perception that they may not be, even though we've had some things happen at parks here in South LA, but for the most part, the parks are pretty safe.
Do you think that's because parks are kind of seen in general all over as a safe haven or a neutral ground?
That, and I think that plays a part of it. And then, you know, most of these gang members or people that make it hard for everybody else in the community have a sense of pride about the park, maybe because they grew up in it playing the sports before they got in their lifestyle. So it's kind of like those two are the driving forces that I see.
What do you think are the most important things to keep people in your community feeling safe?
I think if we paid attention to the bullies a little more amongst our kids, I think that, you know, the majority of the problems that I see happen at our park usually stems from one kid bullying another kid. And they go get older brother, and it escalates until you have adults. So I think if they did that, but I think more importantly to going towards the safety issue, programming is playing a big part. I mean, here in South LA, we really don't have any programs in our parks. So I think programming plays a big part of safety in the parks. And then, you know, of course, you need to have a police presence every now and then.
You mentioned programs. Is there some kind of program specifically you have in mind that isn't in place that you would like to see instated?
Well, I'm a computer man. I like IT stuff. And what I see going on at the computer centers that's in the parks in our area is there's not enough learning. It's like, you know, computers are looked at as toys. So if they maybe made less time for play, don't kill it all, but, you know, and more time for using the computers to learn applications, you know, even at an early age, I would like to see that. And then, again, programs for seniors, because young people need to interact with older people just so that they are better socialized.
That was James Harris with the Southwest Neighborhood Council. Residents of LA County are now required, by law, to spay and neuter their pets. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa signed a bill today to lower the number of animals that are euthanized. Pet owners who do not sterilize their pets could face a $500 fine or 40 hours of community service. Now we check in with Sean Chitness to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Laura. Coming up tonight, we'll be taking a look at Senator Hillary Clinton. She's going to be debating Barack Obama in just about 2 hours. And with 1 week to go until the March 4th primaries, what does she need to do to secure the nomination? And then we'll also take a look at religion on campus. There's a new report out that says students are moving away from the Protestant faith. What religions students are a part of, we're going to talk about that and speak to students about that tonight. So we'll hope to see you tonight at 6 p.m.
Thanks, Sean, for joining us today. that's it for this Tuesday. We hope that you had a good time listening to us from all of us here at ATV. From Annenberg Radio News, I'm Laura Weber. Thank you.